Welcome to the Anus Podcast. This is episode 76 for August 10th, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org. Topicality, an editorial by Smile. Anarchists have a hard row to hoe. On the one hand, our values of a world outside of exchange and the monopoly of violence are the simplest of things. But it turns out that for many people, these ideas are too abstract, too far-fetched to seem practical or sane. As a result, anarchists who want to communicate with people have to contort into pretzel shapes. Mapping a set of fundamental principles into conversations about U.S. presidential politics, the latest outrages about global warming, hashtag MeToo, and the racial order's preservation of the existing order is exhausting. And to what end? I believe the most common argument is that anarchist topicality can and does reach a larger audience than anarchist principles or theory. That activism, the little stories about protest and struggle, reach more people than stories about ideas. Moreover, the argument goes, the audience for the struggles of today are a prime audience because they use topical information and bring it to the streets. In this view, the visibility of street protests, sign carrying at the least and window breaking at the most, is the highest point of anarchist practice. It is the doing something that opposes the doing nothing of internet engagement and the writing of long-winded essays about principles or theory. It wants what it wants now and refuses measure. But isn't a libertarian perspective largely about measure in the first place? Isn't the measure of freedom from impossible to temporary exactly what differentiates us from authoritarian tendencies like Maoism and other capital C communist currents? The ethics of what we do, along with the strategy of it, are as important a concern for most anarchists as the optics or sensational aspects of what we do, right? The measure of a topical anarchism is as much about how well it does anarchism out loud as it is about being loud. In the cacophony of the modern political sphere, there are many tendencies with the will and money to be louder than us, but no one can be as anarchist as we are. That is what differentiates us from every other fool on the stage. Be anarchist, be smart, be everything, especially as that is impossible. Again, that editorial was by Smile. Thanks, Smile. What's new this week? Supporting street actions with labor and economic campaigns from It's Going Down, which I guess should always be in all caps, which means I should be yelling? I don't know. Anyway, this is a working class centric call for and celebration of the significance of the working class in the fight against white supremacy, which is what the cool kids are all talking about these days. The comments on this post are pretty on point. Although they're just pot shots, that's about the level of criticism that this piece deserves, unfortunately. Article. A good tactic is to deny service to any and all who would support the Nazi right. Comment, quote, huh, workers organizing to support social causes instead of self-interest. Doesn't that kind of preempt proletarians stopping the economic order? If essential proles who like more sleep is your thing, I get it, and Nazis are the worst. Also, Marxism is boring, unquote.
Geneva, Switzerland. Sabotage against the federal camp project from Act for Freedom Now. A brief communique reminding us that state projects often have soft civilian underbellies. Quote, camps for undocumented migrants are spreading inside and outside Europe. In Switzerland, 20 new federal centers for people seeking asylum are being built. This euphemism should not hide the character of their management, control, and isolation that is on the increase. At Grand Sassenach, near Geneva, a complex of this kind is being planned right now. Federal camp, police, border guards, international police. In drawing up its plans, the architect's office, Barrow Barrow Kreutler, of Basel and Zurich, is part of the new regime. Its architecture of an exuberant imagination is actually part of the architecture of the camps in Europe, a cold, brutal, restrained universe, in isolation and cut off from others. These are repressive ideas poured into concrete that are springing up everywhere today. Last week, we confronted this architectural firm with its responsibilities by breaking its windows and tagging slogans on its facade, unquote.
Actually, yes, the left can defeat the... I can't do it. Okay.
I can put it.
Actually, yes, the left can defeat the United States militarily. From Gods and Radicals by Dr. Bones. Another piece by the guy demonstrating bad gun practice in every single post. Dr. Bones' enthusiasm and apparent ignorance of the history he is part of could not be better designed to make some of us shake our heads in ageist exhaustion. Here he extols us to be metaphorical mosquitoes and pythons against cows and alligators. You know, like the Taliban do. What's that, you say? Another excitable young white man who promotes his brand while appealing to the simplicity of militaristic models? Hardly seems likely. I agree.
Montevideo, Uruguay. Invitation to the 7th Anarchist Book Fair from Counterinfo. Quote, we have to rethink the dynamic ways of defending ourselves from the powerful and their puppets, from the responsible for the devastation. It is time to expand and propagate the transformative practice as a potential for a life in freedom, opposed to the interests of politicians and businessmen who seek conformist approval. Installed passivity must be replaced by a lively and rebellious attitude, which spreads from the desire for change, which infuses the reaffirmation of the foundations of horizontal self-organization as a generalized model. We still have a lot to think about and project in this direction, because lowering guard and resignation is no option for freedom lovers. Unquote. No logistics are given in this announcement, but it's in September at the Social Center Cordon Norte.
First public communique from the Anti-Prison Solidarity Network with Juan and Marcello from Contra Info. This is a call to support the Solidarity Network, as well as a brief history of these two anarchist prisoners who have been inside for more than 10 years. Quote, support and solidarity in its multiple forms is what we want to develop and project in a practical, public, and systematic way. Essential for us will be to stir up and inform about the situation of the mentioned comrades through posters, propaganda, and activities, concrete gestures that aim to build a bridge from the prison between them and to the ones outside the walls. Unquote. There is an email address to get involved.
Villano, Italy. Repeater Burnt, writings in solidarity with the anarchists of Operation Scriptum Anent, from Act for Freedom. Very short communique about an incendiary attack against phone infrastructure, apparently in the name of those imprisoned by Operation Scriptum Anent.
Smoke Signals from Athens Indie Media. Subtitled, A Conversation in the Aftermath of G20. The intro paragraph reads, quote, first appeared in Rauchzeichen, a magazine published in autonomous groups, fall 2017, and now first published in English on Anarchia. This is late, but not too late. We can use this conversation to prepare something for the coming Black Bloc attack next year in Biarritz, France, where the G7 summit will be the end of summer 2019. Unquote. While the inevitability of a Black Bloc is not questioned in the intro, for those who like to get their organizing on, this is an interesting, not turgid, conversation with four participants in G20, who mostly have reasonably anarchist perspectives and acknowledge some of the issues with organizing as well as some possible benefits. Also, kudos to whoever chose the image for this article. Quote, ideally, our message is that state repression will not stop people from acting. It will increase tension, and people who otherwise wouldn't have met will come together. But in general, we're not very well organized on the level of repression. In Germany, there's more of an individual approach than elsewhere. I doubt that it's clear for everyone that more resistance will entail more prisoners. For me, the perspectives are connected to knowing each other better, knowing our ways of acting, and the cities and situations from where they arise. We should confront our, frequently too abstract, theories with their workings. For example, what our affinity really means. Unquote.
Program and trailer for the Intergalactic Week from ZAD Forever. Intergalactic Week is a week-long get-together at the ZAD that will include things like updates on the Azawad and Tuareg struggles, meetings between territories in struggle slash in search of autonomy, concerts, women's liberation in Kurdistan, movies, etc. This post also has a very cute 2-minute video setting the mood.
Animal-loving anarchists set fire to French zoo. From what appears to be a mainstream French site, this story explains how and why this action was taken, zoos are part of colonization, and that no animals were hurt in the fire. Quote, these places and the propaganda that surrounds them are the embodiment of the speciesist mentality that destroys the world of which they would be expected to be a sample. That is to say, the superiority that human beings create over the rest of the living and by virtue of which they give themselves the possibility of disposing and enclosing non-human beings for their pleasure, whether it be culinary, emotional, cultural, or scientific. Unquote. Thanks to RFA for reposting a cleaner translation in the comments. Comments for this story got off to a trolley-sounding start and never really recovered.
PM Press, 10 years of literary Molotovs from Fifth Estate. PM Press tries to have its punk and eat it too. Hashtag sad.
Imagining a world with no bullshit jobs. From War Magazine by David Graeber and Chris Brooks. We've already dealt with this book in previous weeks. This interview brings up slightly different points than previous ones, but none that call for a reassessment of the peripheral relevance of this book to anarchists. That is, if you haven't considered how work is not only terrible in all these other ways, but is in fact on some level designed to be bad, then this might be informative. Either way, it's not a bad read, somewhat entertaining. Quote, interviewer. And this also helps to explain why market enthusiasts are wrong in their claims that it's impossible or unlikely that capitalism will produce bullshit jobs. Graeber. Yes, exactly. Amusingly enough, both libertarians and Marxists tend to attack me on these grounds, and the reason is that both are still basically operating with the conception of capitalism as it existed in maybe the 1860s. Lots of little competing firms making and selling stuff. Sure, that's still true if you're talking about, say, owner-operated restaurants, and I'd agree that such restaurants tend not to hire people they don't really need. Unquote.
Far-right politician Jacob Rees-Mogg gets a home visit by crazed anarchist vandals from 325. British politician's home and car get targeted. This story provides a list of bad things that this politician speaks in favor of. Yes, he seems to be about on par for many politicians in the U.S. And then the fun they had in expressing their distaste. Quote, for all these reasons and more, he was chosen as a perfect symbol of many things we struggle against as anarchists. And so, last night we left him over 60 soiled nappies spread across his grounds as he's no idea what they look like. Don't ask where they came from. Ha ha! We spread around condoms to see if the idea would grow on him, even decorating a crucifix in his garden with them. We left lots of lovely messages sprayed around many of the buildings on his property, letting him know exactly how we felt about him and causing a considerable cleanup job. The piece de resistance, his wife's car, license plate Y7HRM, sprayed with scum across the side in massive letters with a big sucker dildo planted on the bonnet. Beautiful. Our action is not revenge or punishment. How could it be? There is no balance between our prank and this list of his accomplishments, but one slightly sillier glimpse into one of the multitude ways we exercise our critical analysis. Unquote. If you're going to focus on one cog in an overwhelming cog populace, then definitely have fun with it. P.S. Surely Crazed Anarchist Vandals is a punk band? No? Okay, then it's the title of my next comic book.
The Last Trial of Sukuharjo Defendants, from Anarchist BC, who updates us on seven protesters who have been imprisoned since February 2018, including what they were sentenced to. There is contact information for getting more information, and maybe to support them? Unclear.
Call for proposals for the Bastard Conference 2018. The 2018 Bastard Conference will be held on Sunday, September 16th at the Long Hall Info Shop in Berkeley, California, and it's time for presentations proposals. Quote, our theme this year is hyphenated anarchism, a reflection on how our identities and proclivities shape our particular concept of anarchism, as well as what happens when different notions of anarchy collide. What happens to each term when we construct a binomial, like queer anarchism or anarcho-feminism, and how do we find a balance between the two components? This topic is intended only as a point of departure. We encourage you to make the theme your own and find ways in which these ideas relate to your life and struggles. Unquote. This conference is rare for refusing any commerce in its space, among other things.
Pantarchy, Voluntary State, and a New Catholic Church, the Individualist Anarchist Stephen Pearl Andrews, from Anonymous, by Nicholas Evans, seems to be an outline of a grade school-level essay about pantarchy as imagined by Andrews, i.e., quote, that the pantarchy is a new spiritual government for the world, including a new church and a new state, with all other subordinate institutions, educational, informational, honorary, etc., 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 which are universal in their scope and nature, and which can be devised and established as subservient to the collective wants of mankind? Unquote. Oops, into the not-anarchist category with you.
Communique from anarchist Juan Aliste Vega, from Act for Freedom Now. A message from Vega updating people about his medical care, which finally was addressed apparently because of agitating both inside the prison and out. Also, quote, I'd like to take the chance to rejoice in the various initiatives carried out in Santiago, Concepcion, Valdivia, Temuco, and other places, as well as the internationalist initiatives that were able to cross the borders of Argentina, Uruguay, Brazil, and Spain. Initiatives and gestures with which we put solidarity into practice. Solidarity that builds and strengthens the network of subversion. Initiatives and gestures that are vital to us like oxygen and support us in the path towards the ultimate liberation from prison. Unquote.
Brazil, sentenced the incorrigibles, from Act for Freedom Now. Quote, As we oppose anything that violates freedom, today we are opposing the sentences against those arrested following the protests in Rio de Janeiro in 2013-2014. 23 people were sentenced in Rio de Janeiro in Operation Firewall for violence, criminal organization, damage, resistance, bodily harm, and possession of explosive devices. Sentences range from 5 to 13 years in prison and were issued by Judge Flavio Itabiana of the 27th Penal Tribunal in Rio de Janeiro. They were all investigated by the unit for the repression of cybercrimes, which was the political police engaged in the World Cup and Olympic Games, the same that monitored protests in Porto Alegre and Sao Paulo. It's not by chance that the police operation was given this name. Firewall is the name of a device inside a computer network that aims to apply a security protocol at a certain point of the network. So firewall is meant to block harmful elements in a computer network. The media and communication technology are being used as instruments of control and repression. We've known this for a long time. But this is an obvious example of the potential these instruments have for repressive purposes. Unquote.
Audio from Embers, new content in July from North Shore Info. The tally of the Embers podcast episodes that were released in July. One of them was featured in a previous A-News podcast, a conversation with an anarchist person of color in Montreal. The other two mentioned here are No Pride in Genocide, about resistance to colonial celebrations, and Anti-Fascism in Quebec, an interview with an anti-fascist out of Montreal. There's some dalliance in the comments about what, quote, anarchist content is or should be. No conclusions reached.
Topic of the week, the medium and the message. Since it is often said that if you can't say anything nice, you shouldn't say anything at all, I've been standing mute for some time. I'm sick of it, but I am exhausted by all the hate and all the different permutations of how my words can be, and usually is, misrepresented by the listening audience. But I get it. Attempts at humor are best landed to a very sympathetic audience, and snark never sounds good if you don't agree with the snarker. Here's the thing. It did used to be different. When we didn't know each other, we could hear Bob Black Bookchin or even beckon for the cranky, opinionated personalities they were and not need to take it any further. We could both disagree with an anarchist personality and be excited for the next time they published or spoke. I love the internet because of how accessible the information about our tendencies have become, but I hate it for the ways it appears to have not just polarized our different positions, but defanged them too. How? This is a topic for a different time, but it does seem that the gap is widening between the different kinds of roles involved in our little space. In the example I use above, we are referring to three white men who happen to write. None of these men work particularly well with people, i.e. are seen as lone writers and not, for instance, organization men. Nor did any of them write a classic text, although Abolition of Work and maybe The Ecology of Freedom are modern minor classics. They are partisans of the idea and are valuable for that. But here's the topic. Was it the pacing of book and perhaps periodical writing that created our different, perhaps less hostile sense of who authors were, or was it the distance? Is anarchism a movement of essays or of books? Is authorship the issue, as in death of the author and or anonymous writing, in terms of how to end stupid hostility in the internet age?
You know, the example that really is missing here, that for me really speaks to this set of questions, is Fred Woodworth.
Yeah.
Fred Woodworth no longer exists as even a talking point in basically any conversation I'm a part of. Whereas when we were part of a JOTA, and this is in the early 2000s, you know, Fred Woodworth was on our mind all the time. And
yeah,
by and large, most of the people in our life had been personally denounced by Fred Woodworth at some particular time. And by and large, it was around an important question, and a question that is undersold today, which is that there is a principled argument against window breaking that has basically been lost to the annals of time. Because window breaking, you know, because so many of our friends have been popped for some version of window breaking, they have, you know, pretty set opinions about whether or not window breaking is okay. And then just that sort of general ideas around property destruction and what does that mean? And you know, is a window property and all this sort of stuff. These were really pressing questions that were pushed pretty hard by Fred Woodworth, who did take a principled stand against window breaking. And while, you know, on some level, the point isn't that important in the scheme of things, like the idea of principled stands is kind of important. And it's pretty difficult to be noticed for taking a principled stand in the world of the internet, because basically what context would you do it other than your own? And if you're a print technologist, which is obviously what Fred is, then, you know, you basically would never even be heard. And he's not. And so Fred is someone who I miss, again, not because of the particulars of Fred, but because he does this beautiful, really thoughtful, really touching project that just doesn't matter anymore in the context of the ephemera of the internet.
Yep. The match.
Yeah, the match.
Just to be clear, because I'm sure there are so many people who are listening to this who have no idea who he is or what we are talking about. But the match, and if you can find it and get your hands on it,
you should.
Not just read it, but like live with it, because it is one of a kind, and it is gone.
Well, it's not gone. I mean, he still publishes at least once a year. And on some level, he's as relevant as Anarchy, a Journal of Desire Armed, in terms of his publishing frequency.
Yeah, I just mean in terms of, like, I feel like we don't do this anymore.
Right. We don't have intimate, like, even though I've never met Fred, or maybe I've met him at a table at a book fair once or twice, but we just don't have the intimacy that we had before. And it's not because our movement, quote unquote, is larger than it was before, but it's because the bifurcation between the different segments of this space have become more like walls and much less like, you know, I guess, fields that we wander in every once in a while.
Yeah. So, and that's part of this is the crux of the question, right? Because the questions, the question specifically mentions pacing and books. And I do always feel like there is something about when it was harder, when you had to actually go and seek things out, when you had to accidentally stumble across a piece of written anarchist work, when it had to come from your friend because they got it and you just absolutely had to read it. And then you had to read it and then you had to wait. You had to wait for that moment when you could go and talk to other people about it and you know, maybe write a letter to respond to it. Or so, I mean, this is a really long way to say, like, all that time I feel like meant that we had a different relationship with the things that we read. When you have to be intentional about it and you have to sit with it and you have to mull it, and or you don't, but you do, because the response can't be instant. I just think it changed our relationship to the things that we read. And now everything is just in front of you all the time. It gets pushed at you. You don't even have to go looking for it. And responses are immediate, and very little engagement or thought is necessary. Or maybe there's just because everybody wants to be a part of the fray. Everybody wants to be in it, and there isn't really time for any of that. If you want to be in it, and that's yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. I feel like we've lost something because of it.
Yeah. I mean, I always think about this, you know, because of being a publisher and, you know, seeing certain things really come to life when they enter book form and are something that can be reflected on in that way. And they come to life in a way that the online churn doesn't really seem to be all that lively, and by lively, I mean, in this case, you know, like a place where an exciting interchange of ideas is happening from different perspectives, where different valid perspectives exist at the same time. And, you know, I'm not sure that this is structurally how the internet has to be, but I think that there probably is a deeper technologist conversation about how the different types of software that have, you know, sort of risen and fallen in the past 20 years have been more and less successful at certain kinds of conversations. You know, it's sort of like a, like back in the old days, but, you know, 15 years ago or so, there was this forum called Antipolitics that was based off of the Killing King Abacus. And it was a fantastic forum where people with disagreeable ideas had good conversations. And then a certain threshold of people got involved, or a certain threshold of opinions. And because people, in this case, I'm literally talking about myself, refused to remove certain kinds of problematic conversations, those conversations chased a whole bunch of people away who basically, you know, refused to be associated with them. And at this point, I can't even remember what the problems were. But it reminds me how hard it would be to restart those kind of conversations, not because I agree with my position back in that period of time, but because the range of disagreeable opinions that could start shutting people out is so large that I'm not sure how to begin or end, you know, the banning, basically.
Sorry, I'm thinking about that. I don't
15 years ago, it might have been about Israel.
Sure,
well,
yeah.
Well, today, you know, it literally could be 10 to 20 different topics where, you know, where people basically like, if you don't remove this, me and my people are out. And then they're gone.
Right. And I mean, I don't feel like we are necessarily the best examples of this, but do you think people were quicker to comply with those kinds of demands than they are now?
No,
I don't. Has there been cultural shift? Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
But it's not just the banning part of this that's sort of the issue. You know, the other part of this is like most of the time when we read something, we have about, you know, 3 to 10 seconds in which we decide whether we're going to agree with it or not, enough to dig deeper. I've really been appreciating both The New Yorker and more The Atlantic.
I love The Atlantic.
But these are like 5 to 10,000 word essays.
Yeah.
And that's just not like you can't read it on a cell phone.
No. And there's two other similar. I'll do a shout out. There's a website called Long Reads and a website called Medium, and they specialize in, you know, full length things. And they both do this thing, which I think is really interesting, which at the top of it, they don't tell you how many words it is. They tell you how long it's going to take you to read it before you even start. Which, of course, is completely appropriate, but just, you know, something I would have never thought of.
Yeah. Just to come back to the topic of the week, I guess what the internet has done, for better and for worse, is it has created a hero-free environment. You know, by and large, the anarchist space is filled with anonymous authors. And we did this great piece on The Anvil about how Anonymous was the best anarchist author. And I'm really reflecting on it now, and I'll definitely link to it with the write-up of this issue. But there is something to be said about the strength and weakness of Anonymous being our best-known author. Because, you know, they're okay. So we're now, the new generation is avoiding the problem of Noam Chomsky, you know, and Emma Goldman, and
of these
specific figures being the dominant anarchist voices. There is no particular anarchist leader, and most of the time when a news article cites one, they're laughed at.
Right.
But Anonymous, you know, I'm not sure I'm all that down with what Anonymous has to say most of the time.
No, but I'm not sure that. I mean, I kind of feel like this is a, I actually had a different thought, that I think that you're right about there being fewer heroes, and I do think that that's definitely in the plus column for us, but I also think that the internet has created more enemies and more boogeymen, and, you know, spirits and spooks and ghosts in dark corners, whether or not they're actually really there. But that more often than not, either aren't actually dealt with or are dealt with as way more powerful or way more of a problem than they are, and not actually engaged with, but more just, I don't know what the word I want is. You know, something to run from or to hide from or something to throw rocks at, but that's kind of as far as it gets. And I think that that's probably, I think that's not worked so well in our favor.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you. You can
take my breath away. This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast is sound edited by Dim. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by a friend named Smile. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and material are available at littleblackheart.com. And for news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org. I can be your hero.